Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I started a little over 2 weeks ago talking about how you can find God's will. And I tell you, this is just absolutely essential, that you know God's will for your life. You know, there are many people, I'm sure, that are watching this program that you have a relationship with God, you've received His salvation, and you probably would like to be led by God, and you would hope that what you're doing is what God wants you to do, but you don't have any assurance about it. You are just assuming. You're supposing that God is going to sovereignly make things work out. And that is not how it happens. I've already spent 2 weeks of teaching about how important it is, how that God has a destiny for every single person. And at the end of our teaching last week, I was sharing from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. These are the verses that the Lord used to change my life. This is actually what got me started in my walk with the Lord. I was already born again, but then when I was 18 years old, I got to seeking God, "What do you want me to do?" And I was just praying for 18 months. I was just constantly saying, "God, what is your will for my life?" And I heard a man read Romans 12, 1 and 2, which says, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And that last phrase in the second verse, it says, "where you may prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." That just jumped out at me. This is exactly what I had been praying for a year and a half. I turned myself inside out. I made myself a living sacrifice. Now, it's not just a static one-time thing, but I began the process then. And I can truthfully say that I gave the Lord everything that there was to give. There was nothing left. And from the moment that I did that, my life just transformed. I mean, it's like I was going this direction. I went in the exact opposite direction. I was going at no speed. I was not going anywhere in particular. It was aimless. And man, I had a purpose for my life. Everything just changed. This began the whole process. And again, I've already covered this in a lot more detail, so I haven't got time to go back over that. But this is absolutely essential. Most people are trying to find the vocation for their life without, first of all, giving themselves to God as a living sacrifice. And even if you somehow or another stumbled upon God's will for your life, you would ruin the whole thing. You would blow the whole thing if you weren't a living sacrifice and yielded to God. If you try and accomplish God's will in your own strength and power, you're going to fail. What God has asked every person watching this program to do is not just normal. God is a supernatural God, and God will always lead you to do something that is actually beyond your ability. If you're just doing what you can do in your own strength and might, I doubt very seriously that you have found God's will for your life, because God is going to call you to do something that is beyond yourself. And it's going to take an absolute dependence upon God. And if you haven't become a living sacrifice, if you are trying to accomplish God's will in your own strength and power, it's going to burn you up. You can't do it, and you are going to fail. You're going to mess up God's plan. And there's many of you watching this program that's exactly where you find yourself. Maybe you have a direction, and God kind of showed you something that He wanted you to do, but you did it in your own strength and power, and you've crashed and burned. But the good news is that, you know, just like a GPS system, that when you make a wrong turn, it says recalculating. Amen. If a GPS system can do that, just think of what God can do. It doesn't matter how far off track you've got. It doesn't matter how far you've gone in the other direction. God can plot a course from where you are back to where He wants you to be, but it begins with you being a living sacrifice. Now, that's what I've majored on up until this point. I want to go into something in verse 2, and this is just as equally important. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, I had this experience that I've described March the 23rd, 1968. And for 4 months, I'd been praying, God, what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? Help me to do it. And then God showed up. And I mean, I turned my life over. I made a commitment to the Lord, and I was willing to go anywhere and do anything. And that was good. But I didn't renew my mind. I didn't know the Word of God. And Satan will take advantage of you in your ignorance if you are willing to just yield yourself to God. If you are taught, like say for instance, let me just get specific. I was taught that everything that happens has to gain God's approval. Even if it's not His perfect will for your life, then Satan has to get God's permission to be able to touch you and to do anything. So ultimately, everything is controlled by God. Now, that's what I was taught. I was told that when my dad died, I was 12 years old, that God's the one that took him. It was God's will. It wasn't God's will. God didn't kill my dad. God didn't make my mother a widow at 40-something years old, didn't make me fatherless at 12 years old. That wasn't God that did that. But see, I was taught that God just controls everything, and that's wrong. I've got a lot of teaching on that. I'm not going to go into it right now and defend that, but I'm telling you that that is not what the Word of God teaches. But I was led to believe that. And I was led to believe that anything that happened, it must be God trying to teach you something. I was also a spinoff of that same thing, that God sovereignly controls everything. A spinoff is that these bad things are orchestrated by God to make you better. And that you actually, if you pray to follow God, God is going to put hurt and pain in your life and is liable to kill somebody or make something tragic happen because this is how God perfects you. And that is not true. I hadn't got time to defend that, but both of those things that I've just said, they're related and both of them are wrong. And see, when I made this commitment to be a living sacrifice, I was willing to do anything, and with this wrong thinking, Satan nearly destroyed my life. He just nearly killed me. Matter of fact, he did kill this person that was very close to me. During this time, right after I made this commitment to the Lord and was seeking God with my whole heart, a number of things happened, and I got drafted, and I was going to Vietnam. And right before I left to go to Vietnam, I went to a conference, and I heard a man speak, and he was teaching on these doctrines that I'm saying were wrong. He had a teaching entitled, Satan is God's Messenger Boy. And he actually taught that if Satan is doing something to you, it's God trying to get your attention. He's trying to work some redemptive purpose through these trials and tribulations, etc. And in an effort to make that point, he used an illustration about a boy who was so timid and so shy that he couldn't witness, and he wanted to be a witness to the football team in his high school, but he just couldn't find a way to speak to people. So what he did was pray with this wrong doctrine that God, you know, anything that happens, it must be God. He prayed and asked God to give him a cancer so that as he suffered under this cancer and as he faced death, that he would be able to show people how he wasn't afraid and how he knew where he was going, and how that he could be a witness through that. And so he prayed, and the next day he came down with leukemia. And he suffered and struggled. The football team, all of his buddies, saw his testimony. And at his funeral, four people were born again. And he was using that to say that this is how God does things. He's liable to kill you, and this is how God wants to use you, and He's going to get glory out of your death or out of your suffering. Now, see, again, most people wouldn't yield to that. There's probably people all over the world thinking, man, I'd never do anything like that. That's because you haven't come to this place where you have made a commitment to the Lord that, God, I'll do anything. You aren't a living sacrifice. You still are pretty much controlling your life. And if it's going to cost you pain or suffering, forget it. Amen. And you know what? So a lot of people wouldn't go there. But if you have made this decision to be a living sacrifice, and if you haven't renewed your mind by the Word of God so that you now know that God is a good God and He's not going to put negative things in your life, then it makes you susceptible to wrong teachings like that. And I actually bought the tapes from that meeting that I was at. This is back before they even had cassette tapes, and it was reel-to-reel tapes. I bought these reel-to-reel tapes. I brought them home. I shared them with a girl that at the time I was unofficially engaged to. I never really asked her to marry me, but we discussed it and talked about it. And anyway, she took these tapes. She heard that teaching. She heard this testimony about the boy who prayed and asked God to give him a cancer. And she also had made this decision to be a living sacrifice. And she says, God, if that's what it takes for you to get glory out of my life, then she prayed and she asked God to give her a cancer or some incurable disease. And the next day she passed out. They took her to the hospital. She had acute leukemia. She died of leukemia. I got an emergency leave from Vietnam to come home. I was with her when she strangled to death. She hemorrhaged and strangled on her own blood. We prayed and stood there for a couple of hours asking God to raise her up. The doctors literally got security and threw us out of the room. And you know what? At her funeral, there were four people born again because she loved God and she took things patiently and she didn't waver in her faith and she was such a testimony. Four people got born again in her funeral. But you know what? That wasn't God's will. Satan used our ignorance. See, we had made a decision that, God, I'm going to be a living sacrifice. I'll do anything. But if you don't know the truth, Satan can prey on that ignorance and cause a lot of grief and a lot of tragedy. And I know that there's some people that are just shocked by the things that I've shared, but it's my testimony. That's what happened. I'm telling you, I was a living sacrifice. And that's good as far as it goes, but it's dangerous if you don't balance it with also renewing your mind and finding out, because Satan took advantage of our willingness to do anything, and he took advantage of it. Another instance, another testimony that bears this out from my personal life is after I got back out of Vietnam, and this is a year or so after I got back, my wife, Jamie was this girl that, this other girl that I was talking about, the one that we were unofficially engaged to, she was one of her best friends. And so anyway, we, over a couple of years period of time, the Lord spoke to me about marrying Jamie. I went to get a physical for our marriage license. And when I did, it turned out that I had yellow jaundice. And that's usually not life-threatening or something, but you have to be flat of your back. You can't get up and work. And if you don't, well, then you could have some reactions to this. And if you just kept going, you could pass out. You could be in a coma. You could do any of these kind of things. Well, anyway, when I found this out, it was just a week or so before Jamie and I were going to be married. And I was pouring cement for a living, and I wasn't about to just lay in bed for 2 or 3 months to recover from this thing. I just decided I was going to trust God and believe God for my healing and go on. I went to church, got prayer, and long story, but let me back up a little bit. Right prior to this, I had had two dreams, and in these dreams, I won't go into detail, but it was demonic. I had things happen to me that it wasn't just inside my head. Like one of them, I had a person that was beating me up. And when I woke up, I went into the bathroom and I was bloody all over. Something had physically attacked me. They were supernatural. They weren't just your normal pizza dream. They were supernatural. And I had things attacking me. And of course, it ministered a lot of fear to me. And my first reaction was, I just rejected this and said, that's not of God. And then about a week or so later, I was in Nacogdoches, Texas, which was probably 3 or 4 hours from where I lived. And I walked into a Dairy Queen to get something to eat. And a woman that I had never seen in my life walked up to me and quoted a scripture from the book of Job that says, God speaks once, yea, twice, in visions of the night, in deep sleep, in dreams, when deep sleep falls upon people. And she says, you thought those two dreams were from the devil, but they were from God. And I mean, all the hair on the back of my neck stood up. There was no way that this woman could know about this. It was supernatural. And I dismissed these dreams as being demonic and not from God because they were so, I mean, it was just total tragedy. It was destruction in my life. But when that woman said this, now see here again, I had made a decision to be a living sacrifice, and I was seeking God with my whole heart, but I didn't really know the Word of God. And because of it, I was susceptible to Satan telling me things and doing things because I didn't know the truth. And when this happened, I thought, oh my God, these dreams are from God. Tragedy's going to strike. And then right after that, when I went and got this physical, I found out that I had this yellow jaundice, that I was supposed to be flat on my back for 2 or 3 months, which I wasn't going to do. I determined I'd keep pouring concrete. They said you could go into a coma or something. And then this man that I had mentioned earlier, who taught the teaching on Satan is God's messenger boy, and I took those tapes back, and that caused this girl to pray and ask for a cancer, and she died because of it. This same man came to our little Baptist church, and he started teaching that message, and he zeroed in on me, and he started telling me that God is going to break you. God is going to destroy you. And he prophesied to me that you are going to go into a coma, and you are going to be in a coma for 8 years. And during this time, you are just going to be devastated. But when you come out, you're going to be like the Apostle Paul, and God's going to do these great works in your life. And again, because I didn't know the Word, I hadn't renewed my mind, I was willing to do that if that was God's will. I know some of you think that this is absolutely crazy, and it was. But I'm saying there was no reservations. I had made an absolute, unconditional surrender to God. And if that's what God wanted for my life, I was willing to do it. And he just kept pounding me the whole week he was at this church saying, you're going to be a human vegetable. You're going to go into a coma. And he actually took, I was out to eat with him, and there was probably 10 or 15 people sitting at this table in a back room. And I was sitting across from him, and he was just telling me what God was going to do and how God's going to break me, and I was going to be in this coma. And I was sitting there accepting it because I had made the decision that, God, I'll do anything. And he was just pouring it on. But you know, praise God, the devil, if he would have just stopped right there, I would have yielded to this. Who knows what would have happened? I'd have probably gone into a coma and have never come out of it. You'd have never heard of me. My life would have been over before it started. Satan had me on the ropes. If he had just stopped right there, he probably would have won. But Satan just, you know, he's an egotist. He always goes too far. He doesn't know how to control himself. And this guy got to speaking to me, and in front of all of these people out to lunch, he says, you know, the worst part of everything is that since I've had these problems in my life, God put me on a fast from the Bible. And he told me that for 8 years, I can't study the Word. He won't let me read the Word. God has kept me out of the Word. Now, I didn't know much. And like I said, I hadn't renewed my mind. But I knew, one thing I knew, that the Word of God was something that he has given us. He told us to meditate in it day and night. You put these things in front of your eyes and don't let them depart out of your mouth. I didn't know much, but I knew God would not tell you not to study the Word and not to be in the Scriptures and reading the Scriptures. And when I heard him say that, I mean, it's like scales fell off my eyes. And I realized this wasn't God telling me all of these things, that I was going to be in a coma and et cetera, that this was the devil trying to destroy me. And I remember, here I was just in, I guess I was 22 at the time, or 23. And I remember standing up in front of all those people, the leaders of the church, this man who had been in ministry for decades and all of these things. And I stood up and I said, that's the devil. I said, God would never tell me to be on a fast from his Word. I reject this stuff. I renounced it. I said, I refuse this prophecy about me being in a coma for 8 years. I renounced the whole thing. I grabbed Jamie's hand. We got up and walked out of there and walked out of that church and turned our back on that and said, no, in the name of Jesus. We resisted it. And praise God, it didn't come to pass. But here's my point in telling all of these stories. See, when I made this decision in 68 to be a living sacrifice, then that just basically dropped all my defenses. It took all of the limits off. And when people started coming and telling us wrong things, that God wants you to suffer, that God's going to put you in a coma, God's going to make you like a vegetable, did you know it nearly overcame me? And praise God, I at least knew that He would not shut the Word of God up to me, and that gave me enough wisdom to be able to reject that. Otherwise, I would have been destroyed. I'd have been dead before I ever got started. And you know what? There is a potential problem here. I've been talking about being a living sacrifice, and yes, you've got to do that, but there's a second step, and that is that you have to also renew your mind. You've got to change the way you think. You've got to let God's Word begin to start dominating you. And as powerful as being a living sacrifice is, it's also dangerous if you don't know the truth. And if I had time on today's program, I could give you other examples, just example after example after example of people who were touched by God. Their heart was changed. They meant right, but they didn't know the Word of God. And because of it, Satan destroyed them. So that's what we're talking about this week, is about renewing your mind, the second step in this process of how to find God's will. And I believe that this is really, really going to help you. You know, I'm out of time today, but our announcer is going to give you some information about how to get these materials. I really encourage you to get this. It'll help you. And then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Find God's Will, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. This series is also available on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. You can receive it for a gift of any amount when you write or call. Or you can get today's teaching as part of the God's Will package, which includes three albums: How to Find God's Will, How to Follow God's Will, and How to Fulfill God's Will. As a bonus, the package includes the Destiny Stories DVD, highlighting four stories of people whose lives were transformed as they pursued God's will for their lives. The entire package has a catalog value of $120. But Andrew considers this teaching so important, he'd like to get it to as many people as possible. Therefore, he's offering it to you for a gift of just $75 or more. Remember to specify the CD or DVD package when you order. The fourth audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD titled Renewing Your Mind free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled God Wants You Well for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I want to give you a quick update on our project here in Woodland Park. We've called it the Sanctuary, which that word means a place dedicated to the glory of God, and that's what this place is. And we're in the process of moving out here. We purchased this 157 acres in September of 2009, and since then we've been going through permit process. Okay, so we right now are in the lodge, and it's located right about here. It's not marked on this map. And we're going to come out this road right here, this little single line. This is proposed roads that the builders have in here, but this little single dotted line is the existing dirt road that we have. And we're going to come out here and take this little dirt line right here, this little single line, and go by the pond. We're going to build a pavilion out here on the pond for staff and students to use as like a break area and also our summer get-togethers and things. As you can see, we've gotten some equipment. This is a skid loader that we bought, and we've been doing a lot of work with that. This equipment, this backhoe and stuff over on the left-hand side, a man from Arizona donated that to us, and that is an industrial heavy duty. It's a very big one, and that thing, I'm not sure the exact price, but I know it was over $30,000 that piece of equipment cost, and that's been donated to us, and that's a real blessing. And starting from about right where we are right now, this will be the back side of our auditorium. And then from here all the way up over this little hill will be the auditorium portion of our new facility. And this is the view that we will have. The whole southern side of this building is going to be glass. And it's going to be about three stories of glass, and it'll run the entire length of the south side facing Pikes Peak. And also this gets southern exposure. So as far as environmentally or as far as the utilities, this is going to be tremendous because we are going to take all of this solar heat and use it to heat the building. It'll be really a great thing. So that auditorium will reach up to just about this spot right here. And this auditorium will go from here back. And then there will be a connector right here that goes over. And in this area and down overlooking this pond will be where we have that dining hall, what I'm calling the barn. And it will start from here and it will extend down towards those trees, but it'll be out overlooking the lake and again have this entire view. So it is going to be a beautiful, beautiful place. See, this is our building site, and as you can see, there is a housing addition over here that you can see approximately maybe half a dozen houses. And back to the east down here is where Highway 24 comes through, but you can't see it. That one road that you can see far off in the distance is actually an access road that comes into Highway 24 that leads up to another housing addition. But from the highway or from this Trout Creek Road that goes back through the forest, neither one of them, you can't see this from here. So this will be totally hidden from the highway. People won't even know what's here unless they were to come in here and actually see it. It's going to be awesome. And we are now in the process of going through all of the permits, all of these processes, and we hope that in the summer, probably at least before August of 2010, we'll be able to start putting in the roads and putting in the infrastructure, the utilities, electrical, water, sewage, all of these things, and give access to the building site so that we can begin the excavation and the actual building process in 2011. This first portion that we're doing, we're calling paving the way. That's our architectural fees, putting in the roads, the utilities, all of this infrastructure. And it's going to be around $3 million to $3.5 million just to get this first phase done. And we've had about $1 million of that come in. And so I just wanted to thank those of you who have been behind that. And we believe that we're right on target. We'll be able to get this first phase, paving the way, done before the end of 2011. And then in the beginning of 2011, we'll actually begin the excavation and all the building process. So I want to thank those of you who've been a part of this and who are a part of our foundation builders. We are building buildings, but primarily we're building lives changed by the power of God that are going to go out and make a difference in this world. And you are a part of it. So thank you very much.